Good morning. This is May 31st, 2017. I'm Jessica Schultz, and you're listening to Hope Chapel. We are making our way through the Bible in 1 year. Honored that you have joined us on this journey. If you're new to it, we would invite you to visit the Shine FM webpage or the Facebook page for the Hope Center to find out more about how to follow along with our Bible reading. We are going to dive into Romans. This week you're in Proverbs, you're in Romans, you are experiencing and exploring all that Paul has to offer, great wisdom from the text. Today, I promised you we'd be in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to invite you there right now. I'm in the New International Version today, and the title of the chapter is called Living Sacrifices. We're going to spend some time, we're going to camp out here, so enjoy this reading with me. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This first verse in and of itself is action-packed. There's so much here we could spend time on, but you have to remember that what was very different for them compared to our modern sort of sensibilities, unless you've grown up in certain cultures, but most of us here in the United States, we don't understand a culture of sacrifice. We don't understand what it's like to monthly and annually to, on behalf of our families, to cover our sin, have to make regular sacrifices to our God. The Jews, of which Paul was a chief Jew, he would tell you, he was a Jew among Jews, understood the sacrificial system. He understood the need and the regularity and the whole culture that is built around, all the systems that are built around making the sacrifices happen in order to cover the sins of the people and allow them to remain in covenant relationship with God. Not only is there the Jewish sacrificial system that's part of the culture of the day, but when Paul's writing, he's writing in the mix of cities and cultures and in a time where people all over the known world were making regular blood sacrifice, animal sacrifice, sometimes human and others, to the gods of their choices. When Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, he says that in a place of ritual sacrifice. A normal part of the culture was death sacrifice, where blood shed, whether it would be from an animal or even first fruit sacrifices, grains, the sacrificial system was part of the everyday culture. People understood, no matter what God they aligned themselves with, that they had to pay the price for the favor of that God. So when Paul says here, I urge you to view God's mercy, in view of his mercy, to offer your bodies, your lives, as a living sacrifice, he's saying, even though you no longer have to have shed blood to protect you and to cover you from the sin and from the separation that is between you and God the Father, even though Jesus Christ has paid that sacrifice once for all, and you can enter into full relationship with God, I urge you, because of that great mercy, because of what Jesus Christ has done, to offer your lives as living sacrifice, to live in such a way that we put our lives, we pour ourselves out, if you will, another verse says, to pour out our lives as a living offering to the Lord, to honor and worship the Lord through living in such a way that it brings glory and honor and is sacrificial even to ourselves. Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this is pretty intriguing. How many of you have come across situations or circumstances and you go, man, I do not know what to do. What is God up to? What does he want? How would he handle it? I've run into situations even in the last few weeks where I know that there's no point blank descriptive, here's what you do in this situation in the Bible. I have to look for the truths in the heart of a matter and translate them because of the modern realities aren't necessarily laid out for me in the Bible. I have to be able to test what I know of God. My mind has to be transformed away from the old way of thinking where all I have to do is kill a cow or take a sheep out once a year to the Passover sacrifice or even put the right things out on an altar before a false god, that's all I have to do to gain favor. What Paul is setting up here is the idea that it is so much more than that. When we are a living sacrifice, when we live a life that's pleasing and worshiping of the Lord, and we live a life that is pursuing his will in all circumstances, our very mind has to be transformed away from the old way of living and thinking into the new way and into the reality. And then when we do that, it is easier for us. We have the ability to approve and to test what is the perfect will of God. You can attain that. Paul is telling you that. You might think, I can't know the mind of God, and I can't know what we're going to do, and how do I do this, and how do I handle that? And what Paul is saying is, if you will allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind, and if you will live a life that is a living sacrifice outside the bare minimum, see, the law, the previous sacrificial system, allowed for the reality of bare minimums. So this is part of the whole turning the law on its head. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it, which means actually what's required of us, while it's much less on the death and destruction and bloodshed end, is actually much greater. Our response in response to Christ's great sacrifice for us should be that we would live a life that is full of hope, that is looks like him, that we are actually a living sacrifice instead of the bare minimums. Instead of just providing our best lamb or our best fruit or our best crop, we actually provide all that we are, everything that we have, on the altar of the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we operate from that point of view, it is much easier for us to know the will of God. So if you're struggling with the will of God, if you're struggling to know the situation and what you ought to do and how you ought to respond, it's possible that your mind has not been transformed from doing the bare minimum I have to do to please God into doing everything possible to bring glory and honor to the Lord God Almighty and to Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. When you make that switch, then you stop asking questions. Here, I'm going to hit home. Instead of saying, Lord, do I really have to give 10% to my local church community to support the work of the kingdom? Is my 10% the bare minimum? Is that enough? We go to the Lord and say, Lord, with all that we have, how much of it do we keep? Instead of, Lord, how much do I give away? The question becomes, Lord, how much am I supposed to keep? And we know that everything we have is on the altar of sacrifice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nothing we have is sacred. Our opinions are not sacred. Our values, our very personality. We live in a culture today that says, do you, man, that says, oh, this is who, even in our Christian culture, we love the idea of gifts-based ministries, and I teach them. I love people operating in the gifting and the purposes, the personality. I believe from the foundation of the world, God crafted human beings in a certain way. He equips each one of us. He prepares each one of us. But none of that, my personality, even the very core of what's natural for me, should be on the altar of what God can change and use at any given time. It should not matter whether or not it's comfortable for me. If it's what the kingdom needs and what the assignment needs right here and now, a living sacrifice says, Lord, do with me what you will. Use me how you will. And we know more often than not that it is the nature of God, as organized as he is, to use us right in the place of our gifting and our strengths. But very often, he sees things in us we don't see. Things outside of our comfort zone, things outside of even the trauma and pain that maybe diverted what God planned for us. Many times I'm in leadership meetings or I'm in personality development, gifts conversations, and I'll run across a person. It happens almost every time I'm leading these conversations, where we identify very quickly that someone in the room behaves a certain way because of a trauma, not because of what God's planned for them. And God can heal that and he can set it free. But when we operate in the old mind and we operate under the bare minimum sacrificial system, it means I can say, Lord, I have this trauma here that allows me and has shaped my way of approaching the world, and I'm too uncomfortable to leave that behind. I have this way of thinking from my childhood, and it's my safe place, and I'm not willing to change that because that's who I am. And the new way of thinking, what Paul's saying is, in a living sacrifice, renewed mind kind of way, we say, Lord, whatever my story is and whatever my history is, I want to be and do and live in such a way that it is a living sacrifice, a testament to the glory of God, the wonder of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for me. And everything about me, everything about the way I think, everything about the way I perceive the world, everything about how I pursue a situation. Oftentimes you have every right to be angry. Oftentimes you have every right, because of the things that have been done to you or said about you, to behave or respond in a certain way. It's perfectly acceptable from the world standards, but from a living sacrifice standard and from a renewed mind, it is unacceptable, because it is less than who you are in Christ Jesus. It is less than the fulfilled, redeemed, turned around, transformed by the living God version of yourself. I say all the time, I understand why you feel that way. I love you, man. I get it. I say it to people all the time. I say it to myself sometimes. But I will not accept from you less than who you really are in Christ Jesus. That behavior, that way of thinking, however fair, quote unquote, it may be because of your story or your personality, it is less than who you are in Christ Jesus. The renewed mind that abolishes the old law and lives in the law of Christ, the law of liberty and love, and in living sacrifice and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, lives that way. At the full version of who we are in Christ, and we accept nothing less of ourselves than that. The standard got higher, not lower, when Jesus Christ abolished and fulfilled the law. For by grace, verse 3 says, listen, are we going to be in Romans 12 a while? We could spend some time here, right? Romans 3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. So he's saying, this is just because of there's some grace here, right? So brace yourselves. If he hasn't given you the double whammy yet, there's more coming. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So this is Paul's way of saying, you're not that special. Calm down, roll back, slow down a little, and don't think of yourself as more important or more highly than you ought to. That is a good reminder all around. You can use that wisdom just about anywhere in any situation. Be careful not to think of your opinions, your story, your history, your way of thinking. I was in a conversation just yesterday where someone said, you know, the trouble why I'm struggling in this relationship is that there's an inability in the other party to see any other point of view. And so many of us operate that way. We just can't get outside of our own point of view. We lack the objectivity that comes from seeing the other points of view. My nose doesn't have the same experience that my ears have. With my nose, I smell the skunk on the side of the road. My ears don't hear the skunk on the side of the road. My nose gives me that information. We, as the body of Christ, have to remember that each one of us not only functions in a certain way, but we bring certain attributes, information to the system, to the health of the body of Christ, that we need to be deferring to one another. We need to remember that if you are a pointer finger, as important and vital as you are to the function of the body, you don't work very well without a hand, without the ligaments and without the tendons that move that finger and use it, that the pincer grasp doesn't work without a thumb, that you are not functional, that you are not complete enough. Every one of us has our role, and we need to operate in it, and we need to function in it with the grace that God's given to us. And when you don't, you do a disservice to the rest of the body. When my one particular part of my body does not function well, the rest of me does not do well. When I have a headache, I struggle throughout the rest of the day. When my feet, great example, you get up off the ground, you've been sitting, cleaning, folding laundry, you get up and your foot's asleep, and bam, you are not gonna last very long. Our body parts, every one of us needs to operate and function and do the service of loving one another by being at our best and highest capacity at all times. Verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. That's reminding every one of us that we need to do what we were made to do. It's simple. Bottom line is that whatever role, whatever capacity, whatever design that God has for you, however he's gifted you, you need to find that lane and you need to live in it. Notice he does not mention who cleans the toilets, right? Or who does the jobs. There's lots of work to do. Don't allow that gift of the grace to do the thing you're designed and called by God to do, negate or take away from the stuff nobody wants to do, right? That's a pet peeve. This is a pastor soapbox. So pause, everybody. As a pastor, I'm just going to get on my little soapbox for a second and say, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, you know, I'm really called to do the toilets to scrub today. Now, people do because they're trained and they love the Lord and they love one another. But those people get abused because the rest of y'all who think you're only called to teach or you're only called to prophesy or whatever, don't have to do the stuff that's not naturally gifting for you to do. Well, I'm here to tell you every one of us ought to be scrubbing something sometime. You want to grow in the Lord? You want a renewed mind? Get down and dirty, scrub some floors, teach some Sunday school, do the things that are outside your comfort zone. It doesn't mean that you spend all of your time and space in those places. It means that you live in such a way as a living sacrifice that even things that are uncomfortable for you or aren't your favorite to do, you're willing to do in order to serve the larger purposes of God. And he will open doors for you in your place of gifting and in your place of comfort. He will make a way for you to do those things when he understands, when the Lord understands that you are willing to serve in any capacity, anywhere, anytime. If you're finding closed doors, that's my word of advice to you. Begin to serve anywhere. Serve diligently and without need for a reward or for recognition. And the Holy Spirit will go before you. Your gifts will go before you and they'll make room for you. We're going to pick up again next week in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to spend some time here. I told you this passage is life-giving and I hope that you're encouraged by it. I want to leave you with this edification at this part of the episode for Romans chapter 12. Examine today, go before the Lord, spend the next week, delve into this passage a little bit more, chew on it, and ask the Lord to reveal to you the places in your life where maybe the sacrifice you're bringing or the way that you're living is outside. Where can he renew your mind? Where can he help you to think differently about what you're called to do and how you're gifted? Allow the Lord to begin to transform you in this way and use you as a living sacrifice in your place of community, in your place of work, in your place of home and family, and watch the Lord begin to bring to life full function for you, whatever that looks like, as part of a member of the body of Christ. And we'll be back next week to talk more about Romans chapter 12. Lord, we give you thanks for this passage and for all that you're teaching us as we make our way through the scripture. I pray, Lord, for every one of our listeners that you would just begin a fresh new process of renewing of the mind, that you would help every one of us to begin to look at our lives and circumstances differently, that we would see the perfect will of God in a new and fresh way. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us by your Spirit, give us the courage and the faith and the capacity to live the way you've called each one of us to and to serve one another. Bless our listeners, bless the station, bless the Hope Center and all that are served in our area. In your name we pray, amen. Thanks for listening to Hope Chapel on Community Supported Shine FM. We'll be back next week.
Lighting the way to the one. We're Community Supported Shine FM.